We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Assuming anything in college basketball is a risky proposition. If all common assumptions came true, well, March Madness wouldn't exactly be madness. Hunter Dickinson wouldn't be returning to Michigan this season. Duncan Robinson wouldn't be an NBA player. Jordan Poole wouldn't hit that shot against Houston. The list goes on and on. And even if a certain assumption does ultimately prove to be correct, that doesn't necessarily mean things were set in stone from the outset. Case in point, Jed Howard's commitment to Michigan. Sure, the process ended the way that most people expected, but as we'll learn today, Jed wasn't always locked in on Michigan. In fact, for a little while, he was pretty confident that he would attend Tennessee and not Michigan, which made for a fun little storyline around the second round of the NCAA tournament. Ultimately, what swayed Jed was a conversation that, based on how Jet tells it, was more son to father versus player to potential coach. And it started with establishing that Juwan's support to Jet would always be there no matter where he went to school. Then, of course, Juwan provided his feedback on why Michigan, in his eyes, was the best fit for Jet. But there was no forcing, no hard sales pitch. It's a type of parent-to-child conversation that's frequent, but certainly challenging. The constants in those types of chats, the support from the parent, and the freedom for the child to make their decision. A child won't always make the decision that the parent ultimately wants, but empowering them and informing them as best as they can, well, that's the best way to do it. From there, it's on the child to make the call. So yes, the assumption ended up being correct. Jet made the decision to come to Michigan, but the journey to get to that point was pretty darn interesting. Michigan most certainly had to earn Jed Howard's commitment, despite the last name. And now, Jed Howard most certainly has to earn his keep with Michigan men's basketball, once again, despite the last name. So let's get our freshman profiles going for Michigan men's basketball. Jed Howard coming up here on Defend the Block.
We're talking Michigan basketball. Welcome to Defend the Block, where we'll take you inside the basketball programs with interviews, analysis, and so much more. Now, here's your host, Brian Bush.
Well, a name that many Michigan fans knew for a long time, he is officially getting acclimated here this summer. That is Jed Howard, who is alongside Jet. How are you? How have the first few weeks on campus officially as a Michigan student athlete gone?
It's been great. It's been a smooth transition. The hardest thing about this is trying to figure out where everything's at. It's been honestly hard to find all these different classes, and it, I mean, it's been fun. You get to figure out the campus a little bit more. It's a beautiful campus. Sandman has been a little tough on us.
Sure.
Big Dog has been a little tough on us. So, I mean, you know, you just, this is what you want, and it's been great.
Now, you probably had a little bit more of an intimate knowledge of Ann Arbor and of the campus and of obviously the program because of your dad, because he had been here for a few years. Just how different is it? I mean, were there some moments where it was helpful to know, yeah, I've seen this before, I understand this? I mean, you talk about how, hey, I don't know where some of this stuff is. I mean, has the acclimation process been a little bit easier because you'd been here before?
Oh, 100%. I thank God that my dad is my coach now when I'm in this process, because for one, I kind of understand the practice plan a little bit better. I understand what he wants. I understand how detail-oriented he is. So from a practice standpoint, it's been good, but I never really got a chance to go walk through campus and kind of figure out where the Diag is and where this building is, the chemistry building. I never really got a chance to do that, so I'm happy. I love the dorm setup, because we're starting to meet and socialize with other kids. So, I mean, I like it personally.
You get a ton of questions about your dad, and we'll get into that plenty throughout the course of your career.
Yeah.
But I asked Jace the same thing when he was first getting here. Tell me about the rest of your family, your mom, your other siblings, I know your aunt was big for you during the recruiting process. How have they helped shape you, the person, and you, the basketball player?
That's a great question, because they get so foreshadowed by my dad. And I'll honestly say, I'll start off with my mom. She literally drove me to every practice, every game, like everything. She's been by my side, the wins, the losses, everything. So, I mean, if she's like 100% invested in me and Jace. So, yep. I mean, she's helped me with, like, she knows the game because she's been around it so long with my dad. So she's not new to this, obviously. So she'll just help me with certain things, like, hey, you looked a little ADD out there today, because I'm ADD. So, like, you look a little out of it today. Or she'll tell me, like, yo, you're falling back on your shot, or just like little things that she sees in my game since I was little and my attitude and stuff like that. So she's been a huge, huge, huge impact on my career so far. So, and then next I'll give Jace his credit. He beat me up from sixth grade to high school, and he's probably still one of the best defenders I played. So just getting exposed to that kind of physicality and confrontation at a young age, just actually I thank him for it now, since we're I never haven't got a chance to thank him for it, because, you know, our pride getting in the way
a little bit competitors only.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Our pride getting the wave. So, but I'm definitely thank him for that. He's also been a really emotionally supportful guy too, like my mom. I'll say my aunt, she played basketball at UAB, and she's probably the one who I go to for advice a lot and try to figure out what I'm lacking, what she sees, because she's never going to sugarcoat it with me. She's never going to try to make sure or I like her, or you know how some people just want you to like them or to feel like comfortable around them. She doesn't really care about that type of stuff. So she gives me the right advice most of the time, and usually she's right. Also, I'll give props to my uncle who passed, Donnie Kirksey.
Yeah.
He helped me out a lot. He's from Chicago, so he's hard nosed like my dad. So he kind of just kind of got the soft stuff out of me a little bit. And rest in peace to his soul. He helped me out. Yeah.
No, we've had many conversations about Donnie on this podcast because of the wide-ranging impact he had. When Jace got here as a freshman, a big area that was discussed was that he was great about becoming a good teammate, about acclimating, because obviously with that last name, with the connection to your dad, to the head coach, that could create some potential issues. But everything I heard and everything we've seen from 2 years of him in this program is that, man, when when his dad walks into the building, that's coach, right? It's a completely separate dynamic. What have you learned about being a teammate from Jace that you can acclimate as you get into this program and get used to things? Because it seemed like from Jace's standpoint, it was an instant impact as a person on the team, as a heartbeat. Even if he wasn't playing a ton, he was still making that impact.
Man, everything I learned from being a good teammate has come from him and Scotty Barnes. So I would just say, like, man, Jace Howard has been probably the most selfless person on Michigan for the past 2 years. I never seen him complain once about playing time. I never seen him complain about not getting reps. So I'm honestly taking notes. I just want to see how, like, he reacts to certain things, how he approaches people, how when stuff hits the fan, how he acts. So he's been great. His time is definitely coming, I think, personally. And I feel like my dad has kind of tested him a little bit throughout these past years, and he's reacted perfectly. So
yeah, 100%. I want to dig into your recruitment a little bit, because it was an interesting side story in this past NCAA tournament when Michigan played Tennessee in the second round. It was something that both Coach Howard and Coach Barnes talked about, was the relationship between the two families, between the two programs. I'm sure for you it had to have been so bizarre to see those two programs playing on such a big stage. This was not a shoo-in, that it was, Jets coming to Michigan. What ultimately sold you on Michigan, and what did it mean for all these other coaches to still invest that time in you? Because I don't think anyone just considered it an afterthought, especially Tennessee. I mean, I know Coach Barnes, he admitted for a while he thought that you might come to Tennessee.
You know what? I just want to give props to Coach Barnes, man. He was just amazing in that process. Like, he was genuine. He had my mom for a good portion of it. Like, she was leaning towards Tennessee. Don't let her tell you wrong. So, I mean, at first, the first few weeks I was going to Tennessee, I was telling my aunt on the side, like, I think this is where I want to be. This is where I want to play. And then I came to Michigan on my visit, and I was sick, so I didn't really get the chance to see Michigan and listen, because I was, like, out of it because I had the flu. So when I left, I was like, you know what? I think I want to go to Tennessee. So I came back for a weekend to visit and watch Musa practice, because that was my teammate. And then me and my dad just had a good heart-to-heart moment. He was like, man, I can kind of – he's really good at telling how I'm feeling in that moment. So he kind of understood, like, yo – because I was giving him short responses about, like, Michigan and stuff like that and nodding my head. So he was like, man, listen, like, at the end of the day, I'm going to love you regardless. You can play for whoever. I'm going to still be your dad. I'm going to still show up. I'm going to still support you. So don't think that if you go to Tennessee, I'm not going to do any of those things. But here's a but. But I personally think I have your best interest. You'll never have to lose sleep on if I do or I don't. I think you fit into our play style really well. Nothing is given. So sure, you come in here, don't think just because I'm your dad, you're going to start or you're going to automatically crack the rotation. So you have to earn that in practice and in training camp and stuff like that. So I respected that the most, because I felt like other schools kind of gave me false hope, or maybe it wasn't false hope. I just maybe sold the dream a little bit more, and they kept it 100% real with me. So just off of getting that, I wanted to go to Michigan.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Let's talk about your high school career. You mentioned playing with Musa. First off, let's start there. I mean, you see this young man who comes in. I mean, just such a likable guy. Crazy cool personality. Somebody who, I mean, listen, he came in with Hunter Dickinson as an All-American, and he still was able to find his role. He's now in the NBA with the Clippers. What is that relationship like? I'm sure you're bummed out you don't get a chance to play with him, but, I mean, the fact that he's able to go to the NBA the way that he did, I mean, you've got to be thrilled for him.
So Musa is just like, his energy is crazy. Like, it's like he just brings joy. So Musa in high school, he was just a freak. I came there my junior year, and he was just like, didn't get tired in the conditioning test, didn't get flustered, didn't, like, when the coach is yelling at him, he didn't show any emotion. So, like, just seeing that superhuman view is just, is nuts. So when I got to, when he got to Michigan, everyone was telling me, like, man, he was so prepared. And I honestly think IMG helped him a lot because he grew in, he grew up, and when he got here, it was an easy transition. And as you can see, he hit the floor running. So, yeah, Moose is just a different human. Honestly, I don't really have anything else to say about Moose. He's just 0% body fat, all that stuff.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. It's like, nuts. Oh, my God.
I can't wait to see what he looks like physically in 3-4 years because you see the draft picture. You see him at Michigan. I mean, he's got the ability to inflate in a good way. It's going to be fun to watch.
Yes, like he's like the perfect project like for an NBA team. And in 2 years, you don't know this. He could be an all-star. So
100%.
Yeah.
Take me through your evolution in high school. Where did you make the biggest strides? And how did you grow during those 4 years?
So my first year, I played with Vernon Carey, Scotty Barnes, Jace, and a few other good D1 prospects. And basically, I came into the situation thinking I'm just going to be a bench guy, give energy, learn and practice. Believe it or not, I started, so I earned it in practice and just competing at a high level so early just got me so spoiled because, like, now I go back the next year, my sophomore year, and we're not on the playing Mount Verd on a Monday night or playing Sunrise Christian. So my sophomore year, I kind of became the main option. I became more of a facilitator. I kind of did it all for my sophomore year. So going into my junior year at IMG, that was taken away from me because now we have players like Jaden Bradley, we have Jairus Walker, we have Tamar Bates. The next year we have Keontae George. So it's like now you have to find, like, get in where you fit in because I'm not labeled as a five-star. I'm not, even though I don't buy into that stuff, I'm not that type of player. I mean, I feel like I'm that type of player, but on the rankings and stuff, I'm not. So I think our coach wanted us to go through those guys, which is 100% the right thing to do at that time because I didn't prove anything. So, yeah, so I had to figure out how to fit in, and that was shooting, defending, sometimes here and there, sprinkling in a bit of playmaking my junior year. And that's how I stayed on the floor. My sophomore year, my coach started to figure out what type of player I was, and he started to put the ball in my hands more. I started to do better in practice, and it worked out for me well because I started to be myself a little bit more like I was my sophomore year at U school. And that just made me happy because I felt like the work was paying off, and I'm doing this at a high level in high school. So, but yeah, I think that's what definitely helped me. It's just like because I feel like I went through this process already in a way, mm-hmm. even though I'm not in Michigan. I feel like I already went through this process with other high-level guys competing for that spot. So,
yeah. So with that as a backdrop, you will be in a similar situation coming up here as a freshman at Michigan. What are areas you've circled or you've heard from, whether it's Coach Howard or some of the assistants of, hey, between now and the opener in early November, I need to work on this, this, and this. What are you really circling individually?
Defense. That's definitely a big one. Just like understanding what they want. I feel like once I understand all the rotations and where to be at certain times, then I'll take that leap. Because I feel like personally, as a one-on-one defender, I'm pretty good. I didn't get to display that much, but I feel like I'm a really good one-on-one defender. So once I figure out the rotations and stuff, then I'll take that leap. Next, I'll say my ball handling. I work on that a lot, and I feel like people haven't really gotten a chance to see how good I am as a ball handler. I feel like my passing ability is really good. I'm going to try to get in the lane and create for others. So I feel like there's a lot to my game people didn't see because I'm labeled as a quote-unquote shooter.
Sure.
So, you know, I just kind of want to break that stereotype because that's personally not what I am. And I can shoot, but that's not all to my game.
Well, we're excited to watch you play. We're excited to watch this freshman class play. My last question for you is just as you've gotten used to campus, you've gotten into a rhythm here, started classwork, started some workouts, some individual stuff. What's the camaraderie with this incoming class been like? It seems like you guys are close. That's everything I've heard. But how did that develop before you guys got here and really get even stronger here since you've arrived?
So first off, I've known Greg Glenn Jr. Sure. since freaking fourth grade. Like I've known this man since forever. He spent Christmases at our house. So I guess it was a no-brainer that he was going to come here because there's no chance we can't link up again in college. Sure. We've been trying to play high school ball since forever together. So now we're finally together. So Greg is like one of my best friends. Doug McDaniel, I played basketball with since fourth grade also. And we just kept in touch. Our families kept in touch. My mom and his mom are very close, so I feel like it's a family. And then with Terrace Reed, I played Mocan my 17-year year, and ever since then, we were like, man, we got to have this guy because he was just like a beast. He was like a force, dog. He's like little Shaq. That's what we call him. So, man, I think like – and then just to getting to know his personality as a guy, like he's very cool, laid back, like – if you have a problem with Terrace, then you got a problem with yourself because Terrace is just that type of human. So we're all close. Everybody's close. Even everybody, the locker room, there's nothing going on. If there's a problem, somebody will say it. So I think everybody's just really cool with each other. And we're open to criticism. That's the main thing. Like if we critique each other, we're not going to have an attitude or like take it the wrong way.
Sure.
And that's what I feel like this is why we're going to be really good this year.
Fans are excited. I'm excited. I know you are. Really appreciate the time, the insight, the candor, and hey, continued success in the classroom and as you get ready for the season.
Thank you.
Awesome conversation with Jed, and we will continue here in the coming weeks to introduce you to the rest of Michigan's incoming freshman class. Excited to bring you those conversations. A lot of really interesting players and people who have joined the Michigan basketball family. Of course, we've already caught up with some of the incoming transfers. Jalen Llewellyn, Joey Baker, had great times with those two young men. And we'll keep our women's basketball coverage going as well. Excited to have Cam Williams on the podcast here coming up soon to really introduce or reintroduce her to the Michigan basketball fans because, well, it's pretty obvious that her role will expand now that Naz Hillman's out there doing great work in the WNBA. So thanks to Tom Weirot for his great work in getting the conversation with Jet and all of these freshman profiles in. Thanks to all of you for listening. We've got another edition of In the Trenches coming up on Wednesday. Excited about that. Here in a few weeks, Conquering Heroes will return as Well, it's hard to believe, but it's August. We're finally getting into the true stretch run of the football offseason. Basketball will be here before you know it. And on the wide spectrum of Michigan athletics, yeah, there are events coming very, very soon, just days away for some of those fall sports getting going with exhibitions or the real deal. So stay tuned to all of that here on MGo Blue Podcasts and here with basketball on Defend the Block. Thanks so much for listening.
Thanks for listening to today's edition of Defend the Block, part of our Michigan Athletics Podcast Network. MGo Blue Podcasts. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.